Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Lamed Aleph. And we're going to continue the series of Mishnayos that we started yesterday about a person who makes very interesting nidorim, and we're going to try to interpret what that means in practical terms. So, says the Mishnah, top of Lamed Aleph, Omed Aleph. Ha'anoi demishoif say Shabbos. A person says, I do not want to have any hano'a from those that rest on Shabbos. So, what are the ramifications? Zok the Mishnah. Asa b'Yisrael. He's not allowed to go and have a noah from another yid, because a yid is a Baruch Hashem, a shoyde Shabbos. V'yasa b'kusim, because kusim as well are shoyv se Shabbos. The Gemara is going to ask, but aren't there some goyim that are also shoyv se Shabbos?
So that they haven't tested.
Exactly. Exactly. So why aren't they also asa? So Miachim, the Gemara is going to address that.
Shabbos.
Okay, when we get to the Gemara, we're going to deal with it. The second case, a person who makes a neder me'oichle shum from those people that eat garlic. Now, as you all know, this is special to Konis Ezra, that one eats garlic on Friday evening, because it's Mazriya Zera, and since oinus tamid chachamim me'erev Shabbos le'erev Shabbos, therefore this is a hopeful segula that Amiyat Hashem, there will be children as a result of that beer. So, our Mishnah tells us that not only did the Yidden follow that takana, but the Kusim did as well. So the Mishnah says, "Me'oichli shum, aser b'Yisrael, v'aser b'Kusim," because they also had that minhag. In other words, they also followed this takanas Ezra, and therefore aser. However, if a person makes a neder me'oichli Yerushalayim, those that go up to Yerushalayim, in other words, the ole regel, aser b'Yisrael. But he's mutter b'kusim. He's allowed to go and have a noah from kusim. Why? As we'll see in the Gemara shortly, because the kusim, although they were makbid on Hilchei Shabbos, and they were makbid to eat the shum on Friday night, but they were not makbid to be olei regel three times a year.
So wouldn't they like the equivalent of Reformed Jews back then?
In a sense, when you're talking about kusim, there is a famous machlokes throughout Shas, where the kusim are gerim haim, geri emes haim, or geri aroyas. Now, just to bring us back a little bit to Tanakh, and I'm sure as soon as I open my mouth, Barry's going to correct me, but in the times of Sanhedrin, when he went and expelled the Jews from Eretz Yisrael, from the Galil part of Eretz Yisrael, so now, unfortunately, there were chayas all running around. And the reason is because there was nobody living there.
Desolate,
right. And therefore he imported a tribe called the Kutim. And the Kutim came, and they lived there, and they had the same problem, that the Aroyas, that the lions, were killing them out. So they decided they were going to go and be Megayer. And they figured once they're going to be Megayer, then the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to go and protect them. So, in fact, they were Megayer, and that helped to a certain extent vis-a-vis the lions. Look in Tanakh for all the details. But as a result, there is Machlokes in the Gemara, whether the Kusim, when they were Megayer, or the Geri Emes, real, bona fide, true Geri, or only Geri Aroyos, and that is that they only did the Geris because they were afraid of the lions. But they, when they took upon themselves the oath of office to become Jews, they were just lying. They were not saying it truthfully.
Why do they like disappear from existence? Meaning
they don't. They're still
around.
They claim to be on Erev Pesach. They slaughter a
are those the Kusim or are those the Shomrayim and the Karayim?
Aren't they the same?
No, they're different.
They're different, really?
Over the years, have been different sects.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay, nothing happened.
Kusim, sorry.
Nothing happened. The Gemara says that subsequently, in later years, they saw that the Kusim were serving a statue, worshipping a statue on Har Gerizim. Ever since then, the Chazal were gozer that all the Kusim have a din as Goyim Gemurim. Absolute, total
so
judgment.
What is the Mishnah?
Our Mishnah is talking prior to that period of time.
Okay.
Anyway, so our Mishnah tells us that the Kusim, regardless of whether they were Geri Emes or whether they were Geri Aroyas, they were Shomer Shabbos. However, they were not Olei Regel. Therefore, if a person made a neder not to have a noah from a Shomer Shabbos, Kusim were Shomer Shabbos. On the other hand, if you made a neder not to have a noah from those people that go up three times a year to Yerushalayim to bring Karbanis, they unfortunately did not follow that halacha, and therefore they are mutter b'kusim.
And who are the people that are still around today that only accept Torah Shebichtav? That's the Shomronim, or
there are still sects in Eretz Yisrael. I don't even know if they still have a minion, but there are Karaites.
Karaites.
And so Hebrew, that's called Karaim.
And Karaim.
Over the years, there have been these different sects, and I'm not a historian for that. You have to speak to Yair, who's not here today. But there were different sects during various times where some people decided only Torah Shebichtav and not Torah Shemarpeh. And there were a lot of overlap between Shomronim, Karaim, Tzedoikim, Baisusim, all of these different types of sects. And later years, they had the Reformers as well.
The Karaites were from Bavel in the time of the Gaonim.
Right, so the Karaites still are around. There are communities.
We are told that every Erev Pesach, you still have 8.5 people that go up to the top of Har Gerizim and they go and bring a carbon there for their Avodah Zarah. And they say it's not an Avodah Zarah. They say they're doing it for Hashem, and this is the real place of the Mokum and Migdash. All types of Narishkeit. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah, the point is that the Kutim were following the halacha of Shemir Shabbos, of Shmiru Shabbos, but not Oyel Rechem. Now the Gemara says, we started off Hanoidim Mishoivsei Shabbos. Now Shoivsei Shabbos is a broad term. My Shoivsei Shabbos, Ilayim Mimekayim Shabbos. Does that mean all those people that rest on Shabbos, my Iri Bekusim? So why do we say only Yisraelim and Kusim Afilo Oyvdei Kechavim Nami, even the Goyim? Now it doesn't mean all Goyim, because as we know, many Goyim, if not most Goyim, do not rest on Shabbos. However, the Ran adds one word. You see the top Ran. Afilo Oyvdei Kechavim Nami, Kolomer, Havali Lemisni, Oser B'Mekayimei HaShabbos, make it into a statement of those that are Mekayim Shabbos, Kedei Shehu B'Chlal, Kolo Oyvdei Kechavim HaShoivsin, to go and include those Goyim that in fact are Shoivis on Shabbos. Such as you said, the Seventh-day Adventists. And presumably there are others in that same category. And either the Rosh or Tosfos also use that term to make a reference to, see if you look, the Shekam HaKusa Mekayim Mitzvah Shabbos Mechli Hashem Mekayim Shabbos. Oh, see, if you look at the Tosfos, go down about a little bit past halfway. E Leimim Mekayim Shabbos Afilo Oivdei Kechavim Pirish Im Yesh Oivdei Kechavim, if they are Oivdei Kechavim that are also Mekayim Shabbos, Osir Behem, it should say in the Mishnah that you're Osir in them as well. Frey Toysevim Toymer, my comma, what's the Moris Kasha? Hostam Oivdei Kechavim, ain't Darkam Lish Boys with Shabbos. A regular, normal, average Goy doesn't care about Shabbos. Maybe he cares about Sunday, but he's not Shabbos and Shabbos. Avostam Kusim, a Shabbos with Shabbos. Vieshlem Medochi Komar. Ilem Mekayim Shabbos, Vishoivsim Shabbos, Liboy Lemeim Mitzvah Nala Shabbos, and Kinley Havim Mitzvah. Okay, it goes already into the next Gemara. But the point is that the Gemara is asking those people that are Shomrei Shabbos among the Goyim, they should also be the subject of that person's neder that says, I don't want to have any Hanoah from Shoivsi Shabbos. Every Gemara. Yes.
Sorry, point of clarification. Shoftei Shabbos is synonymous with Shomrei Shabbos?
Shomrei and Shovsei and Mekayimei are considered to be all basically synonymous.
Okay.
Good. So the Gemara says now, so my Eri Bikusim, Afilo Oivdei Kechavim Nami, Elo says the Gemara, Mimitzuvim Ala Shabbos. When we use the term Shoivsei Shabbos, we don't mean those that are Mekayimei, meaning those people that are actually fulfilling the Mitzvah Shabbos. What we really mean to say is those that are Mitzuvah. Mitzuvah means those that are commanded to follow the Shabbos. So Yisraelim are commanded, and Kusim, if they're Gerim, they are Gerim, whether they're Geri Emes, Geri Rois, but they're Gerim. So therefore they also have the Mitzvah. But Goyim, there may be many Goyim that are Mekayim Shabbos, but they're not Mitzvah Ala Shabbos. So that's why they're left out. If that's the case, let's continue on the Mishnah. Now if you're telling me that the Pshat in Shoivsi Shabbos means those that are Mitzvah, that are commanded, that have the mitzvah, so then the same thing applies to Oyel Yerushalayim. The Kusim have the same mitzvah that the Yisraelim have. So Amai Vo Mitzvim Ninu, why don't we say that we're also to the Kusim as well? Omer Abaye, you have to go and put the two together. That when you make the statement Hanoider, whether it's Shoivsei Shabbos, Oyel Yerushalayim, you're talking about those that are mitzvah v'oisik tani, that they do both. Both means that both are mitzvah, Kodesh Baruch Hu gave them the mitzvah, and v'osa, and they're mekayim, they're fulfilling the mitzvah. And therefore, B'tarti bavi kamaisa. The first two cases of the Mishnah, that is, both the Shoyfsei Shabbos and the Oichlei Shum, Yisrael v'kusim mitzuvin v'oisin. Both Yisraelim and the Kusim have the mitzvah of being Mekayim Shabbos, being Shoyfis in Shabbos, as well as eating the Shum based on Tekunas Ezra. And not only are they mitzvah, but oisin, they actually implement it on a practical level, they do it. Oiv di kechovim, ahu di avdi oisin, ve'ena mitzvah. When it comes to Goyim, Ha'udah Avdi, Samaritans, they to Ezra and Nehemiah. Ah, so David Fishman is telling us that the Shomronim go back to Ezra and Nehemiah. I didn't see the second part. Would you like to fill us in on the other details, David? David is
typing.
Karaites date from the 8th century. Okay, so you see now, there's a difference between the Shomronim and the Karoyim. Different century. Shkoyach. Anyways,
and then there's the Tzedukim, which are
another and they're
by Susim.
And you got in their form, and you got all those guys. Yeah. Anyway, getting back to our Gemara, so our Gemara says that Oivdi Kachov, Nahu Di Avdi, those that are in fact the Shovsei Shabbos, they're Oisim Ve'ena Mitzuvim. They are in the second category, but they're not Mitzuvim. For purposes of our Mishnah, you got to be in both. You got to be a Mitzuvah, the Oisim. So therefore, in the first two cases, Yisrael and Kusim, both are mitzvah, and they're oisah. The goyim, those that are goyim, even the Mishnah, even the Gemara uses the term, ahu di avdi, those that, in fact, are shovsei Shabbos, they're oisah and mitzvah, but they're not mitzvah. On the other hand, ba'oili Yerushalayim, Yisrael mitzvah, the oisin, Kusim are mitzvah, the einam oisin.
Why are they bringing up the Gemara of the Avodah Zarah if it's not mentioned in the Mishnah?
That was the Gemara's kasha. Morris Kasha was, why does it say in the Mishnah? No, in the Mishnah of Shishabbos, only Asa B'Yisrael and Asa B'Kusim. I know Seventh-day Adventists that are Groyser Shoyfsei Shabbos. They don't do any Malacha. They go to their Tumah and they daven and do whatever they do on their Shabbos. So they should also be the subject of his Neder. Why does it only talk about Yisrael and Kusim? Why does it mention Oedek Echavim? Answers the Gemara, the reason is because even those that are Shoyfsei Shabbos, but they're not mitzvah to be Shoyfsei Shabbos. And Amish is only talking about those that are both mitzvah and oisah. Mm-hmm. It's good. Mm-hmm. Next Mishnah. Koyimim she'eni nenel b'nei noyach. I don't want to have any hanoh anymore from any b'nei noyach. No. All of us are b'nei noyach, as we know. Nevertheless, it's in the Mishnah, put to me Yisrael, v'yosu b'ayv dikachovim. You are allowed to have hanoh with other Yisraelim, even though all of us are enik lechav noyach. So that sounds strange. So to Yimara, v'Yisrael mi nafik mechlal b'nei noyach, all of us yidin, are we not included in the category of the children and descendants of noyach? Says Yimara, of course, biologically, we are all enik lechav noyach. However, kim de ikrish Avram, once Avram became the first of the other sectation and started off the whole Jewish religion and Judaism as we know it, we're all Einik Lech Avram Yitzvah Yaakov, Iskriya Shemei, therefore we're no longer called Bnei Noyach, our names have changed, we are now called Zera Avraham. Like the next Mishnah says, if a merchant makes a koinim, She'eni Nena L'Zera Avraham, I don't want to have any Anah from any Zera Avraham, then also be Yisrael, because we are Zera Avraham. However, you are allowed to have Anah from Goyim, or give Hanoah to Goyim.
Why Yishmael was...
Oh, Freitach, Ariel, Freitach, Gemara, Veikki Yishmael. Isn't Yishmael also Zer Avram? So why wouldn't we say that in his neder he's also including all of the Muslims and all those are all of our cousins, the children of Yishmael? Hefty more, because the Pasuk says, Ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazora. Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Avram Avinu, yes, you are my very, very special son. Well, the Mishnah refers to Avram as Zer Avram. The Gemara doesn't say where this comes from, but the Rosh brings a posik somewhere in Yeshaya to be. Where is that Rosh? Either the Rosh or the Toys, someone brings this posik that it says in the posik Zer Avram. The Rosh is on the Amud Beis of yesterday. So that's why you don't see it here on the Amud Aleph of today. You see the last three words on the Rosh on Lamed Amud Beis. He brings from Yeshaya Mem Aleph Zera Avram Mehavi, and so therefore we see that Avram and his descendants are all called Zera Avram. It's a special name, no longer Bnei Noach, was Zera Avram. Now, Batzer Avram says the pasuk, "Ki b'Yitzchak yikra l'chazara." Kadosh Baruch Hu said to Avram Avinu, even though biologically you had Yishmael, but the real Zer Avram, that's Yitzchak, and therefore mutar b'Yitzchak. Esav, after all, is the son of Yitzchak together with Yaakov. So why isn't Esav included? Because it says in the pasuk, "Ki b'Yitzchak yikra l'chazara." It doesn't say Yitzchak, b'Yitzchak. B'Yitzchak will call Yitzchak, only part of Yitzchak, which means Yaakov, and not Esav. And therefore, when a person makes a neder, what is the neder interpreted to mean? If he says Zer Avram, he means Yidden. He doesn't mean Goyim, even those that are Zer Avram, like the Ishmaelites and the Esavites. Yes?
The Mishnayos are switching between Noder May Shosei Shabbos, or Konev Shani Nenet, Livnei Noach.
Right.
There seems to be some variation here in the prefix. Is there any significance to that?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay.
I think I would say that it has to do with the famous line that Lushin Nidorim is Mishunah.
Okay.
Now, next Mishnah, that's where it's going to be of very great importance. As you'll see, Zok, the Mishnah, She'eni Nene Mi Yisrael, Lekiach B'Yoyse Moiche B'Pachos, She'Yisrael Nene Li, Lekiach B'Pachos U'Moiche B'Yoyse. So the first case of the Mishnah, She'eni Nene Mi Yisrael, I shouldn't have any Hanoah from Yisrael. The second one is she Yisrael Nen and Li. The Yisrael shouldn't have a Hanoah from me. Now, what does all of that mean? You have a person who says Eini Nen and Yisrael. I don't want to have any Hanoah from any Yidin. What happens now? He wants to go and goes into the grocery store, and the grocery store, the owner happens to be a Yid. If he's going to go and buy something from that Yid, he's going to have Hanoah. So you're not allowed to have Hanoah. So Lekech B'Yoyser, he should go and pay more than the listed price. He's buying a challah for Shabbos. The listed price is $5 a challah. He should go and pay $6. Why? So he shouldn't have a no. On the other hand, if he is selling to a yid, since he's not allowed to have a no from the yid, he's not allowed to go and sell it at the regular price, assuming that the wholesale price for challahs was $4. He has to go and charge him only $3.50. Even though as a result he's not getting his normal amount that he usually gets, he's now that Avanoah from Yisrael. So therefore he has to go and adjust his price. Yes,
so if this person, let's say, is not married and says, I'm not going to have enough, or makes this type of shua, then that means this person can't get married?
The question is whether or not he limits it to She'ein Nenem Yisrael. He can't have enough from any Yid. If, in fact, he leaves it totally broad, that would mean any type of anah, and theoretically you're right. What he would have to do is he'd have to be matir neder. And he'd go to the rabbis, and they would say, why are you here? I want to be matir neder. Well, you have to find a Pesach. He said, I just met a young lady yesterday with whom I feel that this would be a bracha. We would be able to go and build a bayis, neman be Yisrael, and everything is great. Well, when you originally made your neder, did you have in mind, I've gone out already with 100 girls and I'd never had any good things to say about any of them. So therefore I was sure this young lady that I met is special. So would you have made a neder? If I would have known. So it'll be a matir neder, and then there'll be a marriage full of marital bliss. Amet Shem Bekarev.
Amen.
That's what. Yeah. Anyway, so continuing on the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says once again, Lekiach b'yoyse moiche b'pachis. So now, that's if he is saying, I don't want to have a no from Yid. What happens the other way? Yisrael, Nen Li, a Yid should not have a no from me. So what do we do now? He has to try to make up with that Yid. Since he is making a neder, that another Yid shouldn't have a no from him, so he's Lekech B'Pachos. When he goes into the store, instead of buying that challah for $5, he only wants to pay $4 for it, because I don't want the moicher to have a no'ah from me, and so therefore I insist I'm not going to pay $5, I'm only going to go and pay $4. And on the other hand, if he happens to be the one that is selling the chalas, and since he doesn't want a Yisrael to have a no'ah from him, he's going to overcharge him and say, I know, for all the goyim I'm going to sell it for $5, but for you, Yisrael, I'm only going to sell it for $6. Now what do you think the average person is going to do, the yid that he's not allowed to have no'ah from? In other words, it says in the Mishnah, she Yisrael nenan li, Yankel made a neder that no Yisrael should have a no'ah from me, So therefore, when I go into the grocer who happens to be Jewish, I'm going to insist I want to go and pay less than the normal price. Of course, I don't want him to have an offer from me. Do you think that the grocer is going to listen to me? Or he's going to go and say, Mister, you're crazy, get out of here, go somewhere else. What do you think?
Latter.
Oh, that's what it says in the Mishnah. Ain't shoymen loy. And the other Yid doesn't have to listen to him. Just because you want to self-impose such strange nedarim, that you're saying that I don't want another Yisrael to have a no from me, and therefore I can't pay you the regular price. I have to go and pay you less. Mister, don't bother me. If you want to pay the full price, fine. You don't want to, go to another store. I'm not the only store in town. Go to another grocer. Go to another baker. You don't have to come to me.
But here he's paying more, so why wouldn't the owner of the store care?
That you're thinking still about the first case in the Mishnah. Now we're talking about the second case in the Mishnah. Second case in the Mishnah is, first case was, let's try not to get confused.
Yeah.
Shayin enemy, sorry, I don't want to have a no from any eat. Mm-hmm. So I'm going into the grocery. I'm not allowed to have a no from him. So therefore, I have to go and pay more. Mm-hmm. I got to go and pay more to him. Why do I have to pay more to him? Because I don't want to have a no.
Right.
I he still has some hana. There's
a lengthy run that discusses this on the Amud Aleph and the Amud Beis. For our purposes, we should assume that if you're paying the right amount, the normal amount, the $5 sticker price, then both the lekeach and the moicher having hana. However, if he is overpaying, since he could easily go to the next door, every single block you have competition, why do I have to go here? I can go here, I can go here. So anytime, any nenemi Yisrael, even though he's getting the hana, he's getting the chala, he's paying $6 instead of $5, our Mishnah does not consider that to be hano. Why not? Because since right next door he could have gotten it for $5, so he's overpaying, so he's not getting hano. The fact that he's getting a challah, big deal. Go three more steps, and you have another seller who's a goy, who sells challahs with the hashgoch of the bedatz, and the OU, and the OK, and the chofke, and this one, and that one, and therefore, for $5. So the fact that I'm paying more, that's considered to be that he's not having enough. Good. That's the kipiyos. It's the same thing with that since I'm now that I have a Noah from Israel, I have to go and sell my goods to him at a lesser price than the normal sticker price. He's having a Noah, but I'm not having a Noah because I could have sold the same inventory, same merchandise to anybody else, to a goy, and I would have gotten full price. So even though I've sold out my inventory, that's not considered to be a Noah because I could have sold it out to someone else. And therefore, that's the way to refrain from having a Noah. Now this is the other way around. She Yisrael Nen and Li. I don't want that Yisrael should have a Hano'a from me. So therefore, I go into the same store. I don't want that Yisrael to have a Hano'a from me. If I'm going to go and pay full price, the $5, he's having a Hano'a. He's selling the merchandise. However, how do I get around that? Like Yech B'pochas. I insist I'm only going to go and pay $4. So you shouldn't have a Hano'a. And of course, the Moicher says, Mister, you're nuts. You either pay $5 or get out of here. That's why the Mishnah says, Ain't Shoyman Lai. You don't have to listen to him. Nobody else is bound by your neder. If you are bound, you're bound, but not the other guy. And similarly, Umoicher B'yoyser. If I happen to be selling to other people, and Yisraelim want to have Hanoah, they want to go and buy. If they buy at the regular price, then everybody's having Hanoah. The Moicher is having Hanoah. He's selling. The Lekech is having Hanoah. He's buying. However, if I'm overcharging Umoicher B'yoyser, then another Yisrael is not having Hanoah from me because he can go next door and get it for the regular price. And presumably he's going to leave the store and say, what do I need this shirt, this Meshigana? He doesn't want to have Hanoah from me. Fine, I go on somewhere else. And that's why the Mishnah says, V'ein shoymen loy, you don't have to listen to him. You don't have to participate in his Meshigas. He wants Dafka to go and overcharge you. Then go somewhere else. V'ein shoymen loy. That's our gear. So there's another gear so that the Ran brings. E Shoyman Lai. He is from Lashon If, Im Shoyman Lai. And therefore the Mishnah saying is that if the Ovi Yisrael is willing to listen to him and to be like, Yeah, Bapachas and Moich Biyos, he's on tight. But if he's not willing, you know, obviously you can't force somebody else to dafka buy in your store. And when you have this funny nader that you put upon yourself, that Yisrael not only, you go anywhere else. But in Shemel, if they're willing to go and listen to him and participate in this neder, then fine. Then you have to have that he pays less when he's buying from you, and he can overcharge you in Shemel. Zoyshtetuch. Now, the Rush, in fact, says on the Bein Shoyman Loi, he says that these three words are there, Bechti. Bechti means that they're there for naught. The Mishnah doesn't even have to say that. The Mishnah just simply should say that the halacha is the pachas, that if she saw a nemenly, the kech lepachas, and moich b'yoyse. Why do we have to add these words, Bein Shoyman Loi?
Or maybe we think it'd be a mitzvah to help the guy out, so we say, no, you got some sugar now.
So you should help him. Anyway, so over here somewhere he says, unfortunately, this is a different trick. A different trick means it's a different print than the Gemara that I'm used to, where there it says that in Shemun Loi, it's written Bechti. You don't even need to put that in the Mishnah. It should be in the Rush. There's also a problem because a lot of the Mishnayos go together, and therefore a lot of the
commentary
is earlier or later on, so you have to anyway, but he says that that's the same halacha, that it's Debachti. And the Tosfos Yom Tov says about the Mishnah, the reason why Rabbeinu HaKadosh threw those, oh you see, here my Gemara Pirush Rosh Lamed Amud Beis, it's right before it's the end of the narrow lines. Ein Shoymen Loi, you have that Ein Shoymen Loi, right before.
I have a different
Gemara. Your Gemara is also different.
Lashon, Hadara, Mishnah.
Yeah. Anyway, look at the Rush on Lamed Amud Beis.
Yeah.
You see right before.
Kedi
Nachte.
Where is it?
It's the end of the narrow lines. You probably have a different print.
Okay.
Kedi Nachte, the Istigar is the Im Shoymen Loi.
Yeah.
See, Kedi Nachte, you see the Kedi Nachte?
Yeah.
It's brought for naught. Yeah. What does the Mishnah have to tell us? Rosh Shoymen Loi, Nish Shoymen Loi. But the Tosfos Yom Tov says that the reason Rabbeinu HaKadosh threw in these words, Vein Shoymen Loi, that you shouldn't have later scholars coming and scoffing at the Rabbeinu HaKadosh and the Tanoim and say, come on, you can tell me this nonsense? Who is going to be willing to play along with this fellow just because he makes a nadir upon himself? I shouldn't have a no from Israel. So anybody that comes into his store has to automatically overpay the price so that Yisrael shouldn't have a no. Who's going to listen to that? So therefore, the out of Ein Shoymen Loi says the Yom Tov as a commentary. Of course, don't expect that the average individual is going to play along with his fellow. Ein Shoymen Loi, the vast majority of people are not going to go and listen to him.
Sorry,
not now, but Mitchell would be a meeting starting at 8:30 approximately.
Oh,
okay. 8 or 8:40.
Maybe 8:35 approximately. Yes, Mitchell would be a meeting. No problem. I get the Chodesh, I get the Shabbos, all the best.
But if someone makes a Neder, some other person, if he was, you know, part of the, doesn't want to do anything to make the other guy break the Neder, because to
not for his disadvantage, why should I sell him for $3.50 $4 if the list price is $5.
Every time I say, yeah, you
have to sell me a discount because I made a nader, not to have a.
There are 50 people online wanting to buy that challah. Each one is willing to pay $5. This fellow says, because of my nader, I can only pay $4. Mister, go to the back of the line. If there's any challahs left, yeah, you'll get it. Otherwise,
on the west side, it's $8.99.
Yeah, I was thinking that.
Yeah, it could be just a bukkah and not a big challah. Okay, anyway. And the final halacha of the Mishnah is she'eni nemel lehem v'heimli. If a person says, I don't want to have a hanor from another yid, and I don't want other yidin to have a hanor from me, obviously he's one of these Jew haters, it appears, then yahana la'ibdik echavim, then he should, all of his masu matan, all of his business should be with goyim. So he doesn't have to worry about benefiting them, they benefiting him, and alayit. Good. Zok the Mishnah. Zok the Gemara. Om Shmuel. Now Shmuel doesn't comment on our Mishnah. Shmuel is telling us a totally separate halacha. Halakia kli min ha'uman, a person who goes and buys a kli from a merchant, and the side there's another girsa min ha'tagar, the Iran is girsa min ha'tagar, which is a merchant. He buys a new kli, levakrei, and he says to the manufacturer, before I pay money for it, I'd like to inspect it, I'd like to check it out. You know, I want to use it for a day, and I'll bring it back tomorrow, and if it works well, I'll pay you. If not, I'll return it. No problem. This works perfect. And the MSB, unfortunately, as he was holding the kli at home, it fell to the ground and it broke. And shy and oyes. What's it din? He's chayv. He has to go and pay. Then why does he have to go and pay? So now the Ran explains that the three types of shomrim for our purposes: you have a shem mechinam, you have a shem mesacher, and you have a shoyim. What's the reason why by a shem mechinam? Shem mechinam means you have a shoyim and you're not getting paid. What's the reason why he's potter on everything except for
shoyim? He has no hana.
Who doesn't have enough?
The Shomer Chinam has no hana. He's doing it for free. He has
exactly.
No.
Who's having all the hana?
The
owner of the
Baal
item.
The Baal Bikara.
The Baal Bikara. When it comes to Shema Sachar, then it's already half and half. Why is it mutual? Because on the one hand, he's getting the Shemira, on the other hand, he's getting paid. So, by Shoyl, it's the other way around. The Shoyl has all the Hana, because he's borrowing it, he's not paying a penny. He can use it and utilize it and all the rest. He gives it back. So he has Kol Hanor Shalai. So says Shmuel, the same thing applies to this fellow who borrowed the Kli to check it out and to inspect it. Kol Hanor Shalai, he's not paying a penny today. And if he returns it, he returns it, and we're done. And then it's beyond his chayiv. That all of the Hanor is to the Lekeach, the person that is buying this Kli. So the Lekeach is the one that has the full Hanor.
He's effectively, until he pays for it, he's a Shoal entirely. So what's the Chiddush? I mean, a Shoal's Chayav bonus.
No question. But he's not called a Shoal, he's called a Lekeach.
Okay.
All the Gemara wants to go and be pushed.
Identify Lekeach as a Shoal.
And that when a Lekeach buys something, he gets full Hanor. It's
not the mocher
that's considered to be receiving Hanah, right. It's Lekeach receiving Hanah.
In this case, he's not a Lekeach yet. He's still a Shoel until he gives over the money.
What happens if and when a Mir Hashem he were to go and buy it, and the assumption of the Gemara is that he's going to buy it, except for the fact that it was Nenas, it broke, and therefore that's why he's Chayev. But otherwise, he was in the throes of buying it. Therefore, the Gemara considers him to be a Lekeach, and he gets the full Hanah, because if you're telling me that Lekeach and Moicher are both sharing the Hanah, it should be just like a Shem Esachar. Shem Esachar is Chayev B'Gnev Aveda.
Pater Banos.
Pater Ba'oimtzen. Here is Chayev Ba'oimtzen. So you see that he gets full Hanah. Frank tomorrow tonight. Let's go to our Mishnah. She'ini Nenu Yisrael. That's the first case of the Mishnah. I don't want to have a Hanah from Yisrael. So therefore, if I happen to be interacting with Yisrael, Moicher B'Pachis, I have to go and give him a break on the price. I have to go and sell it for cheap. So I shouldn't have Hanah. And, period. Says the Gemara, why does he have to go and sell the B'pachos? Avashol B'shav Eloi. Selling at the normal, regular price at the $5 a challah, that's not. Why not? Be a Noah, Lekeachi, if you're telling me that in Mekach Memker, who's the bona fide Hanah person, that's the person who has, that's Lekeach, like Shmuel just said, Afil Shav B'shav, then even Shav B'shav, he should be able to go and sell it. Because it's not the moicher that's getting the benefit, it's Lekeach. That's what Shmuel said, that Lekeach is the sole beneficiary of a mekach u'memkar, of a financial transaction, of a sale. So Ibazoi, even though he says, I don't want to have a Noam Yisrael, why does he have to go and give him a cheaper price, and therefore lose on the sale, at least lose from his profits, if not an actual loss? Why can't he go and sell Shavu B'Shavu? You just told me that it's Lekeach that's the one that's the sole beneficiary, and not the Moicher. So let him even sell it at the regular price. Every more Masis, and our Mishnah is talking about an unusual case. Bezvina de Rami Al-Ape. Zvina Rami Al-Ape means that there is merchandise on the shelf which steers him in the face. Why does it steer him in the face? The Moich has been trying to get rid of that inventory now already for 5 years.
Slow moving.
It's as slow moving as it gets. That's why Rami Al-Apa means it's always in front of his face. He cannot lose sight of it. I want to get rid of this once and for all. When he finally finds a lokeach to buy it, then the Moicher is having Hanoah that he's getting rid of the merchandise. So therefore, says Yimar, even though Shmuel said until now that the sole beneficiary of a sale is the Lekeach, not the Moicher. But if it's the type of merchandise you want to get rid of, then certainly the Moicher would have Hanoah if he's selling it Shove B'Shove at the regular price. When do we say he does not get Hanoah? If he has to go and undercut himself and Moicher B'Pachis, sell it at a loss, then that's the case that he wouldn't be having Hanoah from the sale. Oh, so that's what the Mishnah is talking about. In Cain, let's continue on. Eim HaReisha, what does he write in the Reisha? She'ein enem Yisrael lekeach b'yoyser, lekeach moicher b'pachas was already focused on, but now we're focusing on the lekeach b'yoyser. So now, why does it say lekeach b'yoyser? That when he buys, he has to overpay. If it's talking about that type of merchandise that people don't want, even if it's shove b'shove, he is not having hanoah. The Yisrael who's selling it is having hanoah, but I'm not having hanoah because I'm paying the regular price. The Moicher is selling it because he's getting rid of this bad goods that he doesn't want. This merchandise that's staring him in the face.
Stale goods.
Oh, so that's the type of situation. But if you're telling me that that's the case in the Mishnah, then why does it say Dafka, that the person that says she'ein inan Yisrael, I don't want to have a no from him, and therefore the kech b'yoyser, I have to go and pay more, even if I'm not paying more. If I pay shavah b'shavah, that should also be acceptable, because I'm not having hanof. He's having all the hanof, because he is selling this merchandise that has been slow moving. I'm not having hanof. So even shavah b'shavah should be good. V'oid, and noch hakasha, eim ha-seifa, let's talk about the seifa. She Yisrael nen and li. I made a nid not to have a no from a yid. He shouldn't have a no from me. She's so nenenli that Yisrael should not have a no from me. So what does it say in the Mishnah? Lekeach b'pochus and moicha b'yoyse. And the focus, by the way, is not on lekeach b'pochus, it's on the moicha b'yoyse. So I'm not sure where to put the brackets in. Or moicha b'yoyse. Since Yisrael is not allowed to have a no from me, I have to go and overcharging. Even if it happens to be a case of that I'm selling it at the right price, since I'm the one that's selling it, I'm having hanoah from the sale. The assumption is I'm having the sole hanoah to the exclusion of the lekeach, because I'm getting rid of these terrible goods which are stale and which are old and blah 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 blah. So I'm having all the hanof. So therefore, even if I'm selling it shava b'shava, the Mishnah should say that is permissible, because here the neder was Yisrael nenali, the Yisrael should not have hanof from me. Yisrael not having hanof from me. I'm having the hanof by selling it and getting rid of this old stale merchandise. I feel the shava b'shava should be the same thing. Ever the Gemara only answers the question vis-a-vis the Seifa. We're going to come back to the Reisha in a moment. Seifa is talking about Zvina Harifa. The Reisha of the Mishnah was talking about stale old merchandise that I'm trying to get rid of. The Seifa is talking about Zvina Harifa, the type of merchandise
fast moving
sale, that there is such a demand. Just like on a few years ago, they had those funny looking dolls for the kids, right?
Beanie Babies.
What were they competing? They had a different
Cabbage patch dolls.
People had to go and buy them from California or from who knows where, because you couldn't get them locally anymore. Zvina Harifa, people are buying. Oh, so in that type of situation, if everybody's going to go and buy, if it's shava b'shava, then everybody's having a no, especially the moich is having a no. So when he says over here in the Mishnah that the moich b'pochus, she saw nenenli, that I don't want a yid to have a no from me. So in such a case, when I'm selling it, I have to go and overcharge. Because if I'm going to go and sell it shava b'shava, then the lekeach is having huge hanoah that he was able to get these goods which are in great demand and which there is a shortage of. And that's why Zvina Harifa, everybody's buying them off the shelves. People are coming buying 20 cabbage patch dolls at a time. 20, 50, 100. Yes, Zvina Harifa. So therefore, if a lekeach is able to find that object, even if he's paying shav b'shava, he has a tremendous, tremendous hanoah. Oh, well, Hashem was able to get it.
Scarcity value.
Oh, so therefore, if you're saying she's wrong, not only that other yidin shouldn't have hanoah from me, it shouldn't only be in a case of moicher b'yoyser. Even if he's selling it shav b'shava, it should be okay. Avadimara, ihochi lekeach b'pachis. Let's go back to the Reisha. The Reisha said, "Lekeach b'pachas, afilu shava b'shava." What have you answered on that kasha? That kasha still remains intact. Ella says, "Yomara, forget about that. Our Mishnah is not talking about zvina drami al ape. It's not talking about zvina harifa. Our Mishnah is talking about masnisim bezvina mitzah. Mitzah means in between, like bava mitzia, meaning that it's not hot goods like zvina harifa. It's not cold stale goods, which are those that are rami al ape, but it's your normal situation. Since it's a normal situation, both the moicher and the lekeach are considered to be
beneficiaries
if you're selling it shava b'shava at the right price. So that we get to Shmuel. So therefore, the Mishnah on its own is fine. Every time they sell the kech, the yoyis, the moichel, the pachas, etc., because you're going to be shomer mishova, I'm getting a no, you're getting a no, so therefore you have to make sure that the noider each time...
The bayask is spread of...
Either that he is not getting the no because he's overpaying, or undercharging, and the other way around, if he said not the other person shouldn't have a no, then he has to go and make sure to go and charge the person more, and to accept from him less. So anyway, so that's Zvina Metzia. No, the Shmuel is talking about Zvina Harifa. Ah, when Shmuel said his aloch at the very outset that the person who borrowed this item to go and check it out, bought it to go and check it out, and then it's not as
being other. Consignment, something.
That's talking about a situation with Zvina Harifa, that this was a hot item. And since it was a hot item, I didn't have to give it to you, Lekech. 99% of the people online will buy it without asking any questions. They'll see it, they'll pay for it, and a roast.
It's like houses a few months ago when the housing market was hot. People were buying properties sight unseen.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, without inspection. They waive the inspection.
Exactly. I'm buying it, and let's just get out of here.
Right, because we're bidding wars for properties.
So therefore, since this person did go and change it, take it to inspect and to check it out, so then he has the total anos lekechi, because as far as the moich is concerned, halavai, he shouldn't ask for it, because I have plenty of customers for it. Tons of people would take it without inspecting. Tani, give us the Shmuel, bring a right tak. The Shmuel, halekech kelim and a tag, a person buys kelim from a merchant, the shagel beis chomov, and he wants to go and send it to his kala. In other words, you're talking about an oris, but an arusa situation, and he wants to endear the arusa to him, and he's going to go and send them a ganze shainish lachmunis, but he doesn't know if it's going to find favor in their eyes. So he goes to Tag and says, you know, my shver and my kala, I don't really know them yet, so who knows what's going to be. Let me go and send them, but you never know. The omalai, if they take it and they smile and they say, oh, this is great, and he knows, then I'll pay you full price. If they say, no, sorry, she already has 3 watches, she doesn't need this watch, she already has 4 necklaces, they sent it back, whatever. Then I'll go and pay you a small amount, you know, as a thank you, as a gratitude, a tip, yeah, exactly. He bought it on memo type of thing. Anyway, so what's halacha? In this case, if and when those goods nensu, they fall on the ground and they break, etc. Mahalicha, if it's on the way to his chamav, then he's chayiv. Why is he chayiv? Just like Shmuel said, that if you go and take kelim min hataga for inspection, what's the inspection over here? The inspection to see, are they going to be happy with it? And they're not going to be happy. So it's called toivis anoa shaloi, and so matzvina harifa, like we said, so therefore he is chayiv. What happens, however, if they in fact reject the goods, from this point on, he, the kech, has no, I don't need any more, and unfortunately they don't want it. Chazon, then it's potem, they should kenoise sachar. At that point, he's like a noise sachar, he's no longer. And therefore he's potem ba'ontzin, he's chayib, of course, b'pshia and g'nei v'aveda, but he's potem ba'ontzin. So we have a raya tishmu. The more it tells us a story.
I'm just going to say sachar. I mean, just because of the halachas of sachar, but it's not really.
It's not really.
Not a question. Not really. But I'm just saying.
Equivalent. He's a halacha equivalent.
Equivalent.
Right. Because you're the whole. If you.
Is that right? Okay.
Is it okay? Is he a shoel or is he a sachar?
Not that he has any benefit. Like as so, it just means it's equivalent halachas.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, in a sense, he has to be a shomer sachar, in the sense that he has to make sure to watch it carefully, so it shouldn't go and get lost or something like that. Hahu safsira deshokal chamer lezvuni. Now we have safsira as a middleman. And again, he's taking things on consignment or on memo, like you have in 47th Street, right? You have the wholesaler, and he gives it to him on memo. And hahu safsira deshokal chamer lezvuni, he wants to go and sell a chamor or wine for the izvin, and it didn't go. Nobody was buying it. Ari Dehoder, after a week of holding on to the merchandise as he's bringing it back, is this chamor, unfortunately, either the chamor died or the wine spilled out, and there was an ice. Now this is already on the way back. Ari Dehoder. Chayv Rav Nachman Shlomer, Rav Nachman said you have to go and pay. Eisur Rav Nachman, we just learned now, but Netzu Baha, Licha Yechayv, but Chazor is Potter, and here's a case of Chazorah. So why are you telling me these Chaybans? Amalei said, Mr. Chazor de Safsira Hailochihi. You don't understand the middleman. A middleman's machshava is at any point in time, if he can go make a sale, he's going to make a sale. So it's true he went from here to Texas to try to go and sell the goods, and it didn't go. But on the way back from Texas, he's thinking to himself, maybe somebody on the plane, somebody in the ship, maybe somebody at the airport, he'll find the Mishkach Lizmuni. If he finds somebody else, I feel like Boba the Beise, even if it happens to be on the shvel, on the threshold, the doorstep of his house, Milan Mazmele, isn't he going to go and sell it? Of course he's going to sell it. So there's no such thing as Chazara by a Safsira. A Safsira is always Behiluk Balicha on the derech to try to go and make a sale with whoever. Okay, final mishnah for the day. This mishnah is very, very straightforward. What the mishnah tells us is that the word orel, although literally it means someone who's uncircumcised, the word orel has become synonymous with the word goy. And in fact, even in Yiddish, when people want to talk about goyim, and they happen to be in the sviva, in the vicinity of goyim, and they speak in Yiddish, they won't say goyim, because that goyim will hear, oh, you're calling us goyim. They refer to arelim. They say arelim. They say an orel. Good. So as a result, if the person says, I make a neder not to have any anoa from or give anoa to Arelim, mutab Areli Yisrael, even though you have Yisrael that unfortunately is uncircumcised, like it's mutab. Yeah. He is not called an Arelim, he is called a Yisrael. The Asr b'muli abdicham, even if you happen to have a goy who is gemalit, Yishmaelim, or even today with the hospital they do a lot of circumcisions, muli abdicham is also Asr to them. Why? Because the word arelim, it doesn't mean literally circumcised, uncircumcised. We're talking figuratively that in this connection it means a yid sagoy. And the same thing in fakir. Sheni nenen lemulim. I'm not going to have any anoa from mulim, from people that are circumcised. Oseb areli Yisrael. Umutem b'mulev gicham. He's oseb areli Yisrael, even though this Yisrael is the chan arel. But the word mulim means Jews, person who has the mitzvah and typically circumcises, so a mulim means a Jew. So also b'rei Yisrael, therefore he's also to all Jews, all Yisrael. Umutim mulim chavim, but he's mutter to all muli avdi chavim because they are considered to be arelim and not mulim. So he's mutter. Oh, so the mission tells us why. She'ena orla kruya. When we talk about orla, we're not talking about the physicality of the orla and the bris. We're talking about the shem avdi chavim. We're really referring to goyim. Shnei, because the pasuk says, "Ki kol ha-goyim arelim." All the goyim have the status of arelim, even if they had a bris. The status is that of arelim. Chol beis Yisrael arelim leiv. Unfortunately, yidn the sin, they are also in a sense arelim, but they are really leiv, not orla down below at the makom or aver, but they are really leiv in their hearts. They're acting poorly, and therefore we call them arelim leiv. They're not arelim. Arelim leiv. And if you're not happy with that first pasuk, I'll bring you two more pasukim. Va'oimer, va'oya plishti orel azeh. It's talking about Goliath. That plishti the orel, the goy. Va'oimer, the third pasuk. Pentis machna, benois plishtim. Pentaloizna, benois ha'arelim. Oh, the benois plishtim are called benois ha'arelim. So the obvious question is, why does the Mishnah have to bring three pasukim? One pasuk wouldn't be enough. So the Ran asks that question. He says that each one of the pasukim on its own, we could have given a teretz. A pircha, oh. See, if you look at the...
So we have a Tzad HaShava then.
A Tzad HaShava, exactly. If you look at the Ran, halfway down the wide lines, where it starts Mishnah, right? Shinele Arelim, Shinele Orla Kri, L'Shem Avedicham, the Kulu, Afilu Mulim, all the Goyim, even if they're circumcised, Mikra Arelim, they have the name Arelim. Kirachziv, Kikol HaGoyim Arelim, Avagav Dispo Mulim. It says, Kikol HaGoyim Arelim. All of the Goyim Arelim is probably 2%, 5%, 10% of the population that is circumcised. Makes no difference. All the Goyim, they have the name Arelim. Now continue the next Rashi, next Ra. Voim voya plishti ha'orel. Kloima, di'i mikro kama, if it's just the first pasuk alone, ikalit chuye, you could say that's not a riot. Di'chi ka'omar kala Goyim Arelim, Arelilev ka'omar. Vayna di'ka'omar seifi di'kro, d'chol beis Yisrael Arelilev ka'moysa. I might have thought that the word Arelim and Areli Lev are basically synonymous, and we're saying that all the nations are Arelim, and even Beis Yisrael are Arelim, Areli Lev. And so therefore, the Goyim Arelim also means Areli Lev. That doesn't mean physically real Arelim, it means also Areli Lev. Ah, and if that's the case, then there's no distinction between Jews and Goyim. And therefore, the first pasuk is Nishkarai. Mishim Hochi, that's why he brings the second pasuk. Omar Ba'imer. The Korele David Orel, David refers to Goliath as an Orel. Afgav Leyoda, he certainly doesn't know whether when Goliath was born, whether he had a bris already naturally, he was born Mol, or whether or not he had a bris afterwards through a doctor, or through a PA, or through a Moyle. He doesn't know, but nevertheless he calls him Orel. You're going to go and say, come on, that a person is born gemalit is not shchiach. It's a rare case.
Twice in history, either Rishon or Moshe Rabbeinu.
It happens even today. You have
really?
People. Yeah, I saw one of my eniklach. In fact, was not in the moel called him noilet chatzi mohu because you could see half of the aver in the front, the corona sticking out. Part of it still had part of
the
arla, but really? It was a very simple bris. There was very little to remove. It was already partially. And others are totally gemalit. Anyway, so he said...
Did you get a discount? Reduced labor.
Nobody had made a neder, mini yourself, to yourself, so you didn't have any discounts. It was all shavu b'shavu. Anyway, v'oyme penta lo yizna b'noyis ha'reilim. And so therefore that's why we have the third pasuk in Israel. The actually I'm godless with you behem kama noshe shenoldu kishahem mulim. If you're talking about a whole nation, there's got to be one or two that are mulim. So you see that the word arel or arelim is a term synonymous with the word goy. So again, it's not a negative term, a pejorative term. It's just a term that we use to refer to goyim as arel. Anyway, getting back to our Mishnah. So now, since we spoke about the inyan of Orla, we go off a little bit on a tangent. We talk about the inyan of Brismila, etc. Rablos ben Azariah Oymer were the first and second wide lines of the Mishnah. Rablos ben Azariah Oymer, Ma'usahi Orla Shin is Ganu Bor Rishoy. That Orla is considered to be something which is that you detest. Why? Shizkanu Rishoyim, because the Rishoyim were described in unsavory terms by calling them Arel. Why does it talk about them as being Arelim? So you see that the word Orla has a pejorative sense to it. Mila is a gevaldi gezach, because a couple of parashas ago when we talked about Avraham Avinu getting the mitzvah of Mila, so over about 20 or 24 psukim, it mentioned, uses the term bris or brisi 13 times when referring to the bris Mila. So it's as if a Kodesh Baruch Hu made 13 treaties on this one mitzvah. Oh, see, that's why it's a dover choshev ma'at. We see that Mila is very choshev because it's even doicha Shabbos.
I guess because of the many times it says the word bris, I think, doesn't it?
Or the real reason is because it says in the pasuk that ubiyoy mashmini yimol b'sar halasa. And the Gemara darshin ubiyoy mashmini because it said bishmini, it said ubiyoy mashmini after the b'shabbos. Rabbi Shua ben Karcha Oimer gedoy lemila shalei nitla loy lemoishe hatzadik olea meloy shah. That's the famous story about when Moshe Rabbeinu was coming back from Midian together with Tzipora and together with his son coming back to Mitzrayim. That at that point, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, "No, come shalt to Mitzrayim to go and save the Jewish people to take them out from underneath Paroi." See, he took them, and then it says that when they were there, but Maloin, that the Vakish Hamisai, that the Malach came, and he wanted to go and kill Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe Rabbeinu had not arranged for the circumcision of his son, and then quickly Tzipora went and did the bris milah on the son. We're going to learn more about it in Miyachim the Gemara today and tomorrow. So the Gemara says about it, Mishnah says about this, that Moshe Rabbeinu, even though he was a tzaddik, and he did all the mitzvahs and all the schusim, nevertheless, those schusim were not able to go and protect him from possibly being chas v'shalom killed by the malach, even for 1 minute. Because he didn't perform the mitzvah of Mila on his son. Why didn't he? We'll see in a moment. As we know, the halacha is if you find that on the mokim hamila, on the aver, there is a tzaras, the moil is required to go and remove the tzaras, cut the tzaras, even though you're not allowed to cut the tzaras.
He
shomer b'nega tzaras. I say, Efsi, a Mila is doicha the lois, es of nega, so you see that Mila is very, very chosh. Rabbi Oimer gedoy lemisha kol mitzvah she'os Avraham Avinu le'nikra shalem ad shemo. Avraham Avinu was so close to Kodesh Baruch Hu. His halich lefanai ve'yesamim. When does this say this ve'yesamim? Only after he had his bris. Until that point, he was considered to be inferior or defective. He had his bris, then he became a tam aganza shalem. Dovrach enochav shet le'lemisha shalem moli he le'barik Kodesh Baruch Hu salom. If it wasn't for Mila, Kodesh Baruch Hu wouldn't have created his world. Shnema koyimara shemem le'brisi yoyim v'alayla chukishmayim ba'aretz le'samti. If it wasn't for the bris that I gave. Now, you could learn the word bris is referring to the general covenant that the Kodesh Baruch Hu made with Klal Yisrael, or maybe the bris ben Absarim, or the giving us the Torah. But our Mishnah is darshening this brisi to mean the bris Mila. If it wasn't for that bris, I wouldn't even created the world, because the world is not worthwhile to create except for that big mitzvah of Mila. Zog Dimar. We're going to start on this because the Gemara goes on to it. Agan Tishtik Lagadot about Moshe Rabbeinu. Tanya Bishua Ben Korcha Oimer. Gedoy the Mila she called Schiyos Asa Moshe Rabbeinu Li Omdu Loi Kisin Ishrashu Min Ham Mila. That even though Moshe Rabbeinu had tremendous chusim, nevertheless, those chusim were not enough to protect him when he was nisrashel. Nisrashel means when he was negligent in doing the bris on his son. Shenemer, it says in the pasuk, "Vayifkasheu Hashem, vayivakish hamisoy." You have it here in the left-hand margin, Torah Sholim, number 6. Vayivaderech b'moloin. He was there en route from Midian to Mitzrayim, and he was going to stay overnight in some sort of lodging. V'yifkisheu Hashem, v'yivakishu Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu, through a malach, one to chas v'shom, go and kill Moshe Rabbeinu. Omer Rebbe, so Rebbe said, probably it's another girsa, the gimel of the Bach, Omer Rebbe Yoisi, said Rebbe Yoisi, chas v'shom Moshe Rabbeinu, sashon amila, Moshe Rabbeinu. Elekach Omer, Moshe Rabbeinu said to himself, Emoil, v'eitze, sakoni, Kadosh Baruch Hu called me and said, go back to Mitzrayim and go and take Eden out from underneath Paray. So, if I'm going to go and do a bris mila and I'm going to leave immediately, it's a sakonish. Never be a meshlish, be yosim koyavim. You see from the Anshe Shechem that on the third day, that's considered to be the worst day. And that's why it's by Avraham Avinu. It also says that when the Malachim came, that was the third day. And therefore, that's why they didn't want to bother him. That's why Kadosh Baruch Hu took out Cham Min Atika. And then Avraham Avinu was upset. And Kadosh Baruch Hu sent the Malachim, as everybody knows. So anyway, the point is, the third day is considered to be the most, the heavy duty day in terms of a refuah or a sakana for a child. So I can't, it's going to take us 4 or 5 days to get to Mitzrayim. I'm afraid, chas v'shalom, sakana. Should I do a bris mila and wait for 3 days? Go back to Mitzrayim. I shouldn't delay even a moment. Why was Moshe in fact punished? Because he was nisasi b'molin. Now, what does that mean? Nisasi b'molin t'chila. So, if you look at the top, ran shenisasi b'molin t'chila shenemar b'derech b'molin demashma demiyad shabom min aderech. He had traveled most of the route from Midian towards Mitzrayim, and now they're staying overnight at some sort of lodging. Nesasing Mamolin, so the first thing he was busy with the Maloin to make sure that he had a proper room and everything was settled and there were enough towels and enough this and that. He should have said, okay, now that we're at this lodging, Shnell, let's not waste a moment, let's do the bris immediately. He told me, are you going to go ask? Hey, Chiyimol, how can you do a mila? He still has to return to Mitzrayim. It's still going to take some time. Why wasn't he worried about the sakana? It was less than 3 days. It's only a problem. He said that this is sakana. That's if he had to go and still travel a week. But from where he was, he only had to travel twice, half a day, whatever. It was a short period of time, and therefore, there's really no sakan involved. No problem. So therefore, says the Gemara, so when he got to the Moloin, he should have immediately gone and done the bris, and since he tarried, then that's where the Pasuk says, Shnell, do the bris, and so therefore, that's what we're talking about. It's not that he did a big aveira, that he didn't do the mila. But at the time of the Moloin, he should have done it more quickly. It's not that we want to, the Sultan or the Malach want to go and kill, you see on the Sarsa Shas, it says Malach. It's not that the Malach wanted to go and kill Moshe Rabbeinu, Ela Oisei Tinik, the child that was going to be Gemalich. And Emer, Ki Chasan Domim Atali, Tzei Re'ei Mi Korui Choson, who is the Choson at the time of the bris? It's not the father that's the Choson, it's the child of him. It's the Tinik, so therefore it was the Tinik and not Moshe Rabbeinu. To be continued tomorrow. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. A good Shabbos and a good Chodesh.